everybody, and welcome to Cooking in Real Time. My name is Zora O'Neill, and tonight I am going to make something I'm going to get started on immediately. I'm turning the oven on to about 425, say. I'm going to be roasting some stuff, so I want the temperature way up high. And I'm getting out a baking sheet. Anyhow, what I'm cooking, and why we have to get a head start on it, is I'm making risotto with butternut squash and sage, and I think we'll probably throw in a little bacon and maybe a little nuts, just to make it a more substantial whole main dish. And then we're going to have some roasted Brussels sprouts on the side. And since both the Brussels sprouts and the squash need to be roasted, we're going to get those going very first, and then we can talk about the exciting mystery that is risotto. Typically, one would use butternut squash for this dish. I happen to have a big wedge of calabaza, which is more of a Caribbean pumpkin. I bought that because they were selling that in wedges in the store, and it seemed better than buying a whole squash that I wasn't going to eat all in one go. So I'm chopping this up. Actually, first, I think I'm going to go ahead and peel it. That way we can cut it into small pieces that will roast up a little bit faster, and we won't have to fiddle with it later on. And I'm just using a thin knife to slice off the tough outer skin here. That's a lot easier with this particular thing. It's a lot easier than using a vegetable peeler because the squash skin is so thick. It is a little tricky though because there are these grooves, so I'm going ahead and slicing the squash up into little wedges and then slicing the skin off. So basically, when in doubt with vegetables, roast them. It's one of the easiest ways to deal with them. You basically just stick them in the oven and forget about them. And it really intensifies their flavor. They're basically any vegetable that's got a little firmness to it, you can stick in the oven with a little bit of oil on relatively high heat. I'm cutting these into, I don't know, about 1-inch chunks. Just thinking ahead to what size pieces I'm going to want in my risotto. It's okay if they're not totally regular, because some of the pieces will get squishier and they'll end up sort of stirring into the risotto in a little bit of a pulp, and then some of the pieces will be bigger and they'll stay a little firmer, add some nice variance in texture. So this is one case where being inconsistent in your chopping is actually a good thing. I'm now peeling my last little piece of pumpkin. There are all kinds of squash you could use for this. Butternut is the most common, but kombucha, acorn, all those sort of hard winter squashes that are a little bit orange or yellow inside are going to have kind of sweetness and texture that you want. You want them to be a little bit creamy. Like spaghetti squash, that would be a mess. You don't want to use that because it has that weird, super stringy, squiggly texture. But anything that's going to bake up and be kind of smooth and velvety and a little sweet is just what you want. So and by the way, I read this in Cook's Illustrated, so it must be true. If you're buying butternut squash, generally go for the smaller ones. This is probably true in shopping for any fruit or vegetable. Large things usually just don't taste as good. They're a little bloated with water. The flavor is spread out, not as concentrated as you would get in a small version of the same thing. So the reason I'm even quoting that to you from Cook's Illustrated is that I've noticed that to be true pretty much across the board, from fruits to vegetables. which is unfortunate in the United States because supermarket aesthetics seem to prefer big and glossy, and really you want the small, and they can still be glossy, but you want the smaller things. They taste better. All right, I have just laid these all out on a cookie sheet, and I'm gonna drizzle some olive oil over them. Go easy on the olive oil. Whenever you're roasting, you'll actually be surprised at how little olive oil it takes, or conversely, how little it takes to make everything incredibly greasy. It's just a little drizzle, and now I'm stirring these guys around. If you wanted to get in there with your hands and get messy, this would be a good time to do it. I'm just sort of stirring these around to make sure everything gets a little bit coated with oil. The oil is what helps everything caramelize and sweeten up and brown. And I'm sprinkling over some salt. You can hear that. Don't go too crazy. I just had to pull myself back because there's going to be other salty stuff in the risotto. And the other thing, I guess I'm just going to put them on the same tray. Can't hurt, especially since the oven is not up to temperature yet. The other thing we're going to deal with are Brussels sprouts. And I just have a little cup of them here, one of those little paper pint cups they're sold in, which might be more Brussels sprouts than you want to eat. But I would say go ahead and roast them up because they'll last a few days in the fridge and they make a very nice little lunch treat or something like that. Or you can always chop them up smaller and put them in a salad or something like that. So it's fine to have more. And you are probably, even though I got this little tiny wedge of pumpkin from the store, it's still going to be, I think, more than I want for a couple servings of risotto. So, but it's nice to have these things set by. All right, Brussels sprouts, I'm just cutting off the very end and then cutting them in half. Nothing fancy. Go ahead and pick off some leaves if they look brown or wilty or whatever, but they don't need a whole lot of attention. And if you lose a few of the small outer leaves while you're doing this, no problem. Again, some of these are small, some of them are large. The inconsistency is going to be pretty much okay. Brussels sprouts, they get a bad rap, man. I don't know. Well, I do kind of have an inkling why people don't like them. They're potentially very bitter. They're kind of potentially all the bad things about cabbage and none of the good. They make you gassy, they're kind of bitter, they smell gross if you boil them too long. We're not going to boil them, first of all, so that solves that problem. Now I'm putting the Brussels sprouts cut side down on my little cookie tray here, my cookie sheet, and I'm rubbing that cut side around in the oil. You don't have to be super meticulous. I just happen to be, since I'm putting both of these vegetables on the same tray, it's easier to arrange them, one thing on one side, one on the other. If you don't have a cookie sheet for roasting, you can also use your trusty cast iron skillet. It can go straight in the oven, which is nice and is really perfect for sort of small portions of things, relatively small portions. And the nice thing, if you're roasting with a skillet, is you can just grab it by the handle and sort of do one of those nice saute flip, one-handed flip things to sort of jiggle everything around, which, if you don't have that skill yet, I recommend you practice. All right, my little Brussels sprouts are there, and I'm just drizzling a teensy bit of oil over the tops of them, too, since only their bottom sides got it, and sprinkling a teeny bit of salt on them. Because later, oh, I have some salty, salty plans for them. We're up to, oven is up to 380, so it's not terrible. We're putting that whole thing in the oven. And let's see here. How to proceed. Well, risotto. So I have a nice pan, a nice sort of heavy copper bottom pan that is in stainless steel inside that is great for risotto. You can use any kind of heavy pot. The thing you want is for it to be heavy because that will spare you a lot of agony and earn you a little bit of time away from the stove, because risotto has a reputation for being a very finicky thing that you have to pay careful attention to and stir at all times. That is actually not entirely true, especially if you're cooking it in relatively small portions. It's something that comes together pretty quickly, you'd be surprised. And if you're using a pretty sturdy pan, you can add liquid to the rice and let it cook down without stirring it frantically the entire time. So I'm putting that pot on the front burner. And first thing we're going to do is, I just turned on the heat there, and I'm going to chop up one small onion. You could also use, this is a great opportunity to use shallots if you happen to have them. They're a little mellower. They just add a certain nice mellow richness to the whole thing. But I don't have any tonight, so I'm just slicing my onion into thin slices. And we're gonna cook those up and let them soften in the pan. Oh, and the bacon. Yes, I think we will have some bacon. Oh, yes. Okay, there's my little onion business. Want a teeny bit of bacon, if there is such a thing. So I'm just gonna cut one slice. It's a thick cut kind of slice. I'm gonna cut that into little nubbins here. If you have something fancier than bacon, by all means, go ahead and use it. I'm actually just now remembering I happen to have some guanciale, which is cured pork gel, but since I've already chopped up the bacon, that will do. Pancetta is what I really mean by fancier than bacon. Pancetta is nice because it's not smoked, so for things where you don't want a really dominant smoky flavor, it's nicer. And there is something to be said for the certain elegance you get with the nice rich pork that's not smoky. Anyway, I've just tossed the bacon in that pan. In my rice pan. I could fry it up separately, but I just don't want to get something else dirty. So I think it'll be fine the way it is. While I'm in the fridge, I'm getting out some Parmesan cheese for later. That's gonna help pull everything together. And I think I'm gonna pull out some cream. We'll see if we need it. Not entirely sure whether I'm gonna use that. Okay. So while the bacon is softening up, the other thing I'm going to get ready is the stock, the chicken stock. You can use vegetable stock too, of course, if you want to make, and you obviously don't have to use the bacon if you want to make this a vegetarian thing. And risotto is a great base for all kinds of vegetarian stuff. Knowing the basic technique, you can throw pretty much anything in risotto. That was me rinsing out this pot that hasn't been used in a while. Don't know what that is. Anyway, risotto is up there with pasta in terms of flexibility. And often you can use the same flavor combination you like in a pasta recipe, you can turn around and add that to a risotto recipe. And why you would use one over the other is totally up to your taste, but I find I like risotto a bit more in the winter, and I don't cook it as often as pasta, so if I want to give myself a little bit of a break, risotto always seems like kind of a nice treat. So, for instance, the other thing I was considering making tonight was risotto with bacon and red cabbage and walnuts, which is actually a pasta recipe I read in a great book called Olives and Oranges, and I happened to read it on a night where I was kind of sick of pasta, and I do know it makes a great risotto, so I encourage you to think creatively. All right, I'm pouring chicken stock here into this pan. And my usual lecture about chicken stock applies. If you have your own homemade, of course, that's fabulous, and it will be more delicious. If you don't, that's fine too. This happens to be some boxed stuff. Actually, a brand I haven't used before, and it's looking dangerously murky. I'm just eyeballing the amount. Basically, you want double the amount of liquid as rice, maybe quite possibly actually a bit more. So I just have the stock set aside in a small pot, and I'm just warming it up. That's so that when you add it to the rice, you kind of don't slow the whole process down by adding cold liquid that then needs to be heated up. All right, stirring my little bacon bits. I'm gonna go ahead and throw in my onion so we can get this show on the road. So, all right, stirring that. The other nice thing about only using one piece of bacon is it doesn't give off tons of bacon fat, so we can just use what's in there. And in fact, I'm going to drizzle a little bit more olive oil in here. You could use butter also. Risotto is a northern Italian thing for the most part, and they do love their dairy products up there. So nothing wrong with a little butter here at the start. The ultimate goal of risotto is just sort of oozing fabulous creaminess, so you can go as light or as heavy as you like with butter and cheese and all that business, depending perhaps on how cold it is outside. All right, so I'm just letting those onions cook down and soften up a little bit, and I'm going to go ahead and measure out my rice. So the other thing that I think makes people afraid of risotto, in addition to the whole idea that maybe you have to be constantly stirring and doing this whole tricky thing at the stove, is the fact that the instructions for the rice are always very particular and recommend some very expensive kind of Italian or Spanish short grain rice. And it's funny, as I'm talking, I'm realizing I don't think I've ever heard anyone say the kind of rice aloud. So I don't know, is it Arborio, you know the kind of rice I'm talking about, you recognize the word. I've only ever read it and ignored it because we always have sushi rice around, and that is also short grain. I'm sure to purists it does not create such a fabulous, delicate, refined risotto, but it's what we happen to have in the house, and we can get it a lot more easily than these fancy European rices, and it may very well be less expensive as well. So it was kind of a big breakthrough actually a couple years ago when I realized I could just use sushi rice, because that was the other thing, is I always be like, oh, I want to make risotto, but I don't have any of that kind of rice. But once I busted out and realized any kind of short grain rice will do. Change my outlook completely. So I'm just measuring out half a cup of rice. The tricky thing about rice, man, is you never think you're cooking quite enough. And then it expands like crazy, and the next thing you know, you have enough to feed an army. So half a cup is plenty for two people. Remember, yeah, a cup is sort of standard for four people. Don't be tempted to increase wildly. I keep coming back here to stir my onions because you can hear them crackling a bit. And I just want to get them to the point where they're pretty translucent and soft. I don't want them browning. So they're moving along. And the other thing I'm going to throw in here is some sage. I have some not so fresh stuff. In fact, it's kind of mostly dried up and withered, but that's fine, it'll do. Fresh sage is, of course, nicer, but if you don't have it, just be very generous with dried. And I'm just sort of crumbling that up and mixing it in. Oh, that smells so good. Something about sage that is so autumn smelling. I'm just crumbling that up and mixing it in with the onions. And you should be able to smell it right away. If you're using fresh sage, go ahead and slice it up into little pieces. Although actually, if you throw in whole leaves, they'll get pretty crispy in the olive oil you've got going here, and you'll be able to break them up into more bite-sized pieces. So I used maybe a big teaspoon, couple good pinches of dried sage I used in there. And this is starting to brown up quite a bit. So I'm going to go ahead and throw in my rice. We still don't have any liquid in the pan. The point at this stage is just to coat all the grains of rice all over nicely with oil. The grains of rice go from being opaque to clear once you, or translucent rather, once you start stirring them a bit and get them nicely coated. So it's a nice way to gauge whether you've got them all coated with oil properly. Some recipes will tell you to sort of cook your rice quite a bit at this stage and maybe even toast it a little bit, brown it. I am usually too impatient to do that. And my chicken stock has gotten nice and a little bit simmery by now, so I'm turning it down to low. It does not have to do anything special, but it just needs to sit there on the back burner and simmer. Yeah, you don't want to keep it any hotter than that because you don't want it to boil away. So I've got my ladle. My rice looks fairly clear and nice and covered in oil. And I am just taking a big ladleful of the warm stock, pouring that into my rice, maybe a quarter cup. On the first batch, you can add quite a decent amount of stock right off the bat. Later, you want to finesse it and add smaller and smaller amounts because you don't want to overcook the rice. But to start with, you know it can absorb quite a bit. Okay, so give your rice a good stir. The whole point of risotto, it's unlike any other rice dish in that the goal of it is to make it starchy. If you think of Middle Eastern or Indian or basically any other culture that cooks rice, the goal is to make the rice very refined and have each grain stand distinct and not stick together. But the goal of risotto is to kind of really get the starch all agitated and create this sort of starchy sauce in between each grain of rice. And the way you do that is by stirring and kind of agitating, and you're basically scrubbing the outer layers of starch off of each grain of rice while you stir. So I've turned my heat down to medium low because I didn't want the liquid to cook away too much. And already I put in maybe a little more than a half cup of liquid there. Already that has been almost entirely sucked up into my rice. And already it's producing a nice bit of sort of runny, starchy goo in between the grains, even though the rice itself is not yet cooked at all. So I'm putting in a couple more ladles full, and I'm stirring. And I'm actually going to step away right now because I know I've got a couple minutes until that starts glomming up again, and I want to get together the remaining stuff for my Brussels sprouts, which is going to be anchovies and garlic. Very hard to argue with. So I'm just popping out a couple cloves of garlic. Oh, heck, a third one. They're small. There was just a thing in the New York Times about bagna cauda, which is a little Italian kind of dip for vegetables that's basically olive oil and garlic and anchovies, sometimes butter, just depends on what you want in it. And that made me think of that combination for the Brussels sprouts, rather. Brussels sprouts have a really strong flavor, so you could put strong things on top of them and they won't wimp out. So actually, I'm going to go stir the risotto. I can hear it getting quite bubbly. So I'm going to give it a quick stir. I've still got another minute or two before it's going to need more liquid. So gave that a stir, bought myself a little bit more time, and now I'm just back and I'm chopping up the garlic pretty fine. This is a case where you could actually also run this garlic through a garlic press in this case, because really what we're going to want is almost a sauce made with the garlic and anchovies. And I don't have all that much patience for chopping things up super fine, though it can be very soothing if you give into it. All right, so I'm just scraping that garlic. Wow, maybe that is a little too much for the relatively small amount of Brussels sprouts we have, but we'll see about that later. I'm just tidying up here, and I'm putting my garlic here by the stove along with my anchovies, and you don't have to do anything with your anchovies. They're just little fillets. You don't even need to chop them up, as you'll see later on, but I'm just making sure they're there and they're ready. And now we're back. I'm giving the risotto a little stir. It's looking very nice. I'm going to take a little peek at my vegetables here, see how they're doing. Oh, the Brussels sprouts are already getting nicely browned. My squash is just sitting there sullenly, not browning at all. Oh well. The important thing, though, is that it gets soft. All right, I think I'll put a little bit more liquid in now. One big ladleful. There, so you can hear the difference in the bubbling. Now the starchiness of the starchy stuff in there has gotten quite thick. So I just added another bit of liquid. Okay, I can step away again, and this time I'm doing it to rustle up some nuts to put on top. What kind of nuts, I wonder? Ooh, I found the almonds to go on top of the risotto when it's done. Just taking a big handful of them. I'm going to chop them up. Oh, with my same garlicky knife? No, I'm going to wipe that off a little bit. And just chopping up my nuts very coarsely. There we go. And I think I've said this before, but I keep all my nuts in the freezer because nut oils tend to go rancid very easily. And if you keep them in the freezer, that staves that off for quite some time. And since I usually toast nuts before I use them, it's just the perfect amount of heat to warm them up and defrost them. Giving the risotto a stir. You can hear it's getting kind of that shwip, shwip, shwip noise. That's a good sign. Okay, now I'm just going to toast my nuts. I've got my smallest cast iron skillet here on a back burner, and I've turned the heat on high, and I'm just going to toss my coarsely chopped nuts in there. Rinse that bowl out right away. Rinse out that other bowl. Making sure to keep the sink clear. Okay, things are proceeding faster now. This liquid is almost all absorbed. I think I might have to... I've only got about one ladle full of stock left in my little pot, so I'm testing the rice to see just how much more it's going to have to cook. It's still really crunchy inside. So I'm going to pour this last little ladleful stock into the risotto, and I'm pouring another, I don't know, half cup into my little saucepan to keep it warm. Okay, back on track here. I've got my heat back up to medium, incidentally. My bacon is making this taste very smoky. Yeah, which is not a bad thing necessarily, but it is a thing where, you know, the whole thing tastes intensely of bacon. Let's see here, looking at my little Brussels sprouts. Oh, they're getting nicely browned on their little underside, so that's nice. My feeling about this squash or this pumpkin is, I'm guessing that it's pretty moist, most waterlogged thing, so it doesn't brown up as quickly as the Brussels sprouts, which are essentially a pretty dry vegetable. So I'll just leave them in there a little bit more. The bigger pieces weren't soft yet. Stir, stir, stir. This gets a little tedious. And by now, my almonds on the back burner are heating up, and I'm just shaking around the skillet a little bit so they brown evenly. So again, risotto purists, they're really going for like this beautiful sweet spot where you have exactly the right amount of liquid and exactly the right texture of rice, and I would love to be able to do that consistently, but sometimes I don't quite hit the mark. Oh, it's getting nice and crispy. What usually happens is I get to a certain point and I'm like, oh, well, This is how much stock I have left. And I'm just going to go ahead and add it all. And then sometimes the risotto ends up a little runnier than it should. Maybe sometimes the rice ends up a little bit softer than it should. But basically you want the rice to still have a little bit of a bite. And kind of like al dente pasta. So you don't want, it shouldn't be like gooey like breakfast cereal. I'm adding this last, and see, it's gonna happen again. I think I'm just gonna add all of that stock. And what you're always gonna do, and you have to allow for, is you're gonna allow the risotto to rest. I was just rinsing out my little saucepan because now I'm going to do my topping for the Brussels sprouts. I'm drizzling enough oil into the bottom of that little pan to cover it. And I'm keeping the heat on low. And I'm putting in just a couple little anchovy fillets. You can use more if your taste is, oh, okay, three, because they're small. If you have an extra of this stuff, it's not a bad thing. Basically, you can just let those little anchovies kind of melt in that hot olive oil. And I'm going back to stirring the risotto. As I was saying, you want to let it rest at the end for a few minutes, and in that last few minutes, it always absorbs just a little bit more. My almonds. They are browned. They are done. Take that away. You want to take them out of their little, take them out of the skillet right away so they stop browning. Go ahead and rinse that skillet out very quickly. So that's ready. So basically, like I was saying about the risotto setting up, basically I want to stop the cooking when it's still a little runnier than you'd want to eat it, because it's going to sit and seize up and get a little thicker, the way oatmeal does, but fortunately not in such a gross way. And that rice is about right, so I'm going to go ahead and turn that off. And I'm putting the lid on, turn the heat up a teeny bit on my anchovies just to hurry that up. And now that I turned the heat off on the risotto, the lid is on, it's just sitting there. And I'm very quickly going to grate some Parmesan cheese. If you order risotto in a restaurant, this is the point at which they put an obscene amount of butter in there, which I'm not saying you shouldn't do. I'm just saying next time you're in a restaurant, you're like, wow, why does this risotto taste so good? That is why. Butter, 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 butter. So I'm adding a little Parmesan cheese. Oh. Listen to my anchovies sizzling. All right, I'm turning them back down because I don't have time to stir them right now. I'm doing the cheese instead. I'm grating in Parmesan cheese. I will add a dab of butter because it's not gonna hurt, and butter goes so nicely with the squash. Oh, this cheese is so hard. It's always good to buy fresh Parmesan cheese, not the suspect Parmesan cheese that's been sitting, you're surprised to see in your not-so-great grocery store. Should never buy that stuff. It's usually been sitting there for months. It's gotten incredibly hard, difficult to grate, like it is right now. Butter. I generally prefer butter over cream because cream tends to mask flavors more than butter does. So I'm putting in about, I don't know, half a tablespoon of butter, just a little nudge off the end of the stick. So that's in there. Don't even really need to stir it up right now. Putting the lid back on. All right, I'm gonna stir my little anchovies. Basically, well, turning the heat back up. Them. They're disintegrating nicely as I stir them. Just getting them in the hot oil makes them basically lose their structural integrity. Oh, and it's smelling intensely salty and anchovy-y. Which, you know, if you were traumatized by anchovy pizza as a child or something, this is not a great smell for you, but I recommend you get over it. Because a whole world of deliciousness awaits with anchovies. And now I'm scraping in my little minced up garlic. And, excellent. I'm going to put a little bit more olive oil in there. Yeah, this is going to be more than I need for my Brussels sprouts, but that's fine. I'll save it for other purposes somehow. You can basically slather it on, any vegetable, and it will be delicious. All right, pulling everything out of my roasting oven. Turning off the oven. All right, yeah, all my little pieces of squash look pretty soft. I'm glad I cut them up fairly small. Sorry, I'm just mesmerized by the incredibly fragrant garlic and anchovy and olive oil situation over here. I think we can safely turn that off. All right, taking the lid off my risotto, I'm stirring. Frankly, it looks totally delicious just the way it is. But now we're going to add the squash. Like I said, putting in a mix of smaller pieces and larger pieces. The smaller pieces I expect are gonna squish up right away when I start stirring. And the larger pieces will hold their integrity just a little bit better. Giving that all a good stir. Butter has melted in. This is not a pretty dish. But winter dishes seldom are. At least there is squash, bright orange squash, to make things more scenic. The reason I'm going slowly is I'm trying to decide whether this thing can support all of my squash. If I can fit it all in. I don't think I will. I think I'll save some of those pieces of squash for tomorrow, and maybe I'll dip them in the olive oil, anchovy, garlic business. So, my Brussels sprouts look so good. They're brown on the outside and brown, gorgeously brown on their little cut undersides. And I'm just drizzling that garlic and anchovy stuff over them. It's just, you know, a really rough sauce. Nothing sophisticated. Yeah, if I'd been thinking ahead, I probably should have run the garlic through a garlic press just for a little bit more smooth and consistent texture. But no worries. Let me taste one of these guys right away. Oh my gosh. And again, I realize the satisfaction of the Brussels sprouts is that they are a bit bitter, and they kind of offset the sweetness in the risotto. And I think that risotto is done. It looks nice and creamy, looks beautiful, and I'm just going to stick in a bowl here and sprinkle some nuts over the top for extra protein and crunch and textural variety. If you're really getting into it, you could put another kind of cheese in there, some kind of creamy cheese. I don't know, we usually have feta on hand or something like that. Blue cheese, maybe, if you like that. So dig in, enjoy your dinner. Thanks for listening. And as ever, if you have questions, drop me an email at zora@cookinginrealtime.com or go to the website, cookinginrealtime.com. And yes, again, I'm on Twitter as cookrealtime. And you can check out there. I post all the episode news and occasional things I read that are of interest to people learning to cook. So thanks again for listening, and enjoy your dinner.